This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. It was a deadlocked vote in the Senate earlier, but the tie-breaking ballot by Vice President Dick Cheney means a $350 billion tax cut plan has now been passed.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative.
The House approved the package overnight, actually, and President Bush is expected to sign it very soon. The $350 billion cut, of course, is significantly smaller than the $725 billion proposal President Bush had originally asked for. The president last week actually called the $350 billion package, quote, itty-bitty. Later, however, he did change his mind. There's word today Saddam Hussein's son Uday may be thinking of surrendering to Allied forces. The Wall Street Journal is quoting a source as saying the U.S. has not been willing to concede much, though, because officials believe Uday will be caught sooner or later anyway. Uday is Saddam's eldest son and was commander of Iraq's elite paramilitary Fedayeen unit. He's number three on the coalition's most wanted list after his father and brother Qusay. Secretary of State Colin Powell says there are no plans for any outright changes in the Bush administration's plan for peace in the Middle East. He does, however, say Israeli concerns will be addressed.
We have told the Israeli government that we would take their comments into consideration and address them fully and seriously as we went forward in the implementation of the roadmap. But this does not require us to change the roadmap.
Powell is standing behind the document and says a response from Israel is now expected. The New York Times has reported a tentative deal has been struck for Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon to endorse the roadmap, but any endorsement would reportedly only cover broad issues of the plan. With America under an elevated terror threat level heading into the Memorial Day weekend, the possibility of terror strikes has also prompted Britain to take steps to counter that threat. A concrete barrier has been placed around Parliament buildings, and dozens of concrete blocks have been placed around the Palace of Westminster. Police say the move was carried out as a precautionary measure and not in response to any specific intelligence about a terror attack.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert, use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man, what?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An infectious disease specialist with the Centers for Disease Control is being airlifted from Taiwan back to the U.S. after developing symptoms consistent with SARS. The man fell ill while helping Taiwanese officials cope with a sudden influx of new cases of the respiratory ailment. CDC, though, says the scientist has not yet tested positive for the disease. A Chinese corporation is being slapped with U.S.-imposed sanctions over allegations it sold missile parts to Iran. The Bush administration will enforce a two-year ban on imports from North China Industries, also known as Norinco. The company exports more than $100 million in products annually to America.
You don't rule for 900 years by being nice. You got peasants to enslave and political rivals to murder because they would kill for your job. You are Tsar, and even to this day, your country bears the mark of your rule. Russia, land of the Tsars. The world premiere event this Memorial Day at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. A story so incredible, it can only be true.
Foreign ministers of the G8 nations are meeting in Paris for talks ahead of next month's leader summit. Secretary of State Colin Powell also had one-on-one talks with his French counterpart, Dominique Delville-Pan, aimed at mending fences after the Iraq war. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The two men met for early morning talks. It was the highest-level meeting between the two governments since the fallout over Iraq. French officials described the talks as friendly and frank, but gave no further details. The two ministers then joined other Group 8 colleagues for meetings to prepare groundwork for the June summit. They're also discussing the war against terror, the Middle East peace process, and the nuclear crisis with North Korea. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And a powerful earthquake hit southern Kazakhstan today, killing at least three people. Meanwhile, rescue workers are using listening devices and sniffing dogs to try to find survivors of Wednesday's devastating tremor in Algeria. That quake killed at least 1,500 people and injured at least another 6,700. Officials today say an 18-month-old baby has been pulled alive from the rubble 36 hours after the quake. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werbe Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
And coming up right now, and have I got a great show for you. You want to call in, get online, because you're going to want to talk to my guest this hour. 1-800-825-5937. That is the phone number, 1-800-825-5937.
Hi, this is Peter Werbe. We are currently experiencing some technical difficulties, so until we clear up the problem, please enjoy one of my previously recorded shows. We'll be back after we fix the problem, and you know what? I think it's only going to take a minute.
Welcome to the Peter Werbe Show. Call and talk to Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. Call 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Why am I the host, Jalene Jordan, being laughed at?
You were jamming.
I was jamming with this music from Cielo.
Salsa style.
Yeah. That's not, is that salsa? No.
Oh, I don't know.
That's New Mexican music. Actually, okay. The band from Santa Fe, Cielo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. And we got William.
I am broadcasting live today from Seppi's at the Parker Meridian Hotel. And if we are ready, are we ready, Detroit? Okay, joining me right now, our phone number is 800-825-5937, and joining me right now on the phone is one of the greatest environmental attorneys of the time, one of the greatest political thinkers of the time. I do not exaggerate. I'm talking about Robert Kennedy Jr., Bobby Kennedy Jr. of the Pace University Environmental Clinic, of the Natural Resources Defense Council, and of the River Keeper, the Hudson River Keeper Foundation. Bobby, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Curtis. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Not really.
Oh, my gosh. What is going on here?
I can hear you a little bit.
You can hear me a little bit.
Now
can
I
you hear
can
me
hear
a little
bit?
Okay. Well, let's get right to it. This week we saw the resignation of Chrissy Whitman. The blue-blooded Chrissy Whitman, who was the Environmental Protection Administrator, are you surprised that she is not sticking with this administration?
I'm not surprised. I think people have been anticipating her resignation for a long time. She she, I think the job was not enhancing her reputation. A lot of the things that she wanted to do as environmental administrator and that she promised the public that she was going to do, she was not able to do because she was steamrolled by Karl Rove and by the representatives of the automobile and oil and coal and big energy and chemical industries who kept steamrolling the public interest, which she was, as EPA administrator, charged with protecting.
Now, you said before the election, I've
lost you again, Curtis.
There you go. Now do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Before the election, you said that before the 2000 election, you said the American people had a choice between the best environmental candidate that we ever had on a major party ballot, Al Gore, and the worst, the man with the worst environmental record, George Bush. Have events proven you correct?
I would say yes. I think if you polled the leaders of the environmental community, that it would be unanimous that this president is regarded as the worst president for the environment that we've ever had in American history.
Now, what the hell can people do about it? We have a Republican Congress, both houses. We have a judiciary which seems to want to invalidate the federal government's power to even regulate environment, regulate corporations. What can people do?
Well, the most important thing for people to do at this point is to join the environmental groups, groups like Natural Resource Defense Council or Sierra Club, for example, particularly those two groups, because they are leading the charge and mobilizing the public in a strategy to at least expose the anti-environmental agenda, the really radical anti-environmental agenda of the Bush-Cheney White House. The polls show that somewhere around 80% of the public actually wants our environmental laws strengthened. Only 7% in the latest Gallup poll, which was in March, on this issue, want it weakened. But the Bush administration is listening to that 7%, who presumably include their political contributors. The administration, can you hear me still?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
But the administration now has launched about 100 separate initiatives, and these are documented in the NRDC's latest publication, which people can view at their website. But 100 separate anti-environmental initiatives, and if even a fraction of those are implemented within the next year, and they will be, we will have, by this time next year, virtually no significant federal environmental laws left in our country. That's not exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. It is a fact.
Well, how do we...
laws will remain on the books in one form or the other, or we will be like Mexico, which has these wonderful, even poetic environmental laws, but nobody knows about them and nobody complies with them. The really dismaying thing about this, Curtis, is that we have the choice to do some, and the option and the opportunity as a nation to do extraordinary things with the environment that would benefit our economy and benefit our prestige and the rest of the world and reinforce the idea of American democracy as the leader of the world. But we're squandering those opportunities. One of the worst things that the Bush administration has recently done is to propose this $20 billion national energy program, which is just a huge subsidy to the oil and coal industry, which are already rolling in record profits. They don't need the money. Oil revenues, oil profits have increased industry-wide, have quintupled since 1999. And last week, ExxonMobil announced that its profits had once again tripled since the last quarter. So they don't need $20 billion of our money. What we need to do is start conserving energy in this country so we can reduce our dependence on foreign oil.
Well, that's a very nice idea, Bobby, but I don't see this government moving in that direction at all. I'm speaking with Bobby Kennedy, Jr. of the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Pace University Environmental Clinic. If you want to get in the conversation, our phone number here is 1-800-825-5937. You don't have a hard job convincing me that we need to conserve energy and that good environmental policy is also good for the economy. Why do the Democrats have such a hard time making this case? And another question I wanted to ask you, I heard someone on the air say that environmental issues don't bring people to the polls. Is that true?
Well, you know, actually it is true. And we've looked at this because if you poll people, the polls say that that everybody wants strengthened environmental laws. I mean, 80% is a huge number. And it's cross-cutting. It goes across Republican and Democratic lines. But people don't actually come to the polls in large numbers to address those issues. And the reason is, according to more specific polling that we've done, is that people generally believe across the country that government is protecting the environment. They have
right, this
notion that, you know, we passed these environmental laws back in the 70s, and that the environment is now being taken care of, and that there's some tinkering that needs to be done, and that there's, you know, that there's disputes on both sides about whether things are overregulated or underregulated, and that government is doing that kind of tinkering, but there's no real threat to the fundamental bedrock environmental laws like the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act and the Endangered Species Act. When the public finds out there is a threat, then they are aroused and they turn against their political leaders. But that has not happened yet with this government, and one of the reasons is, I mean, there's really three major reasons. One is that we have the Gulf War or the war in Iraq that has distracted the press, and, you know, so that people are not writing about the environment. The environmental writers have been reassigned to cover the war and cover terrorism. So
we have the one issue press.
Is that the press doesn't cover this issue anyway, because these kind of debates are not fast breaking news. And the third issue is that the Bush administration has been very skillful about making this a stealth attack, about not bringing these issues up before Congress, as the Gingrich Congress did and was punished for, not making a direct attack on the environment, but doing it through the agencies where the issues are very complex and where the public is not paying attention and there's no opportunity for public debate. And when they do something public, they conceal the bad motives and the bad impacts with flowery, and deceitful language. Bush calls his attempt to destroy the Clean Air Act the Clear Skies bill.
He calls his
attack on our federal forest the Healthy Forest Initiative.
Right, which his plan for preventing forest fires.
Thinning.
Right, his plan for preventing forest fires is to cut down all the trees.
Right.
Now, and another major thrust in their offensive is in the judicial level, and the type of people that they're appointing to the judiciary would invalidate and nullify all of the environmental laws. Essentially, there's a movement which says if the government passes a regulation which prevents a corporation from doing something, it's a taking, and the companies have to be reimbursed for the profits they won't make because they're not allowed to do something which might pollute the environment.
Well, that's right. What they're saying is that we have to pay people to comply with the law. We have to pay people not to do bad things. And, of course, if government had to pay you, you know, not to do bad things on your property, government would cease to exist. And, you know, it's a fiction. Of course, there is no right, you know, it's the environmental movement that's really protecting property rights, but what they're doing is they're inserting this bill, this takings bill. It's called a takings bill, or they sometimes call it Private Property Protection Act, and it's been passed in many of the states, and they're trying to pass it, again, sub rosa, attaching it to riders to various bills. And
right, Bobby. Let's pick this up on the other side. I'm speaking with Bobby Kennedy, Jr. about the threat to the environment. Get in the conversation. 800-825-5937. I'll be right back with more. I'm Curtis Ellis.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270. If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network. Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
And here I am, gang. It's a little Friday afternoon here right before the Memorial Day weekend. I'm joined by Bobby Kennedy Jr. We're talking about the environment, the assault on the environment by this current administration, the Oil and Gas Administration. Thanks so much for joining me, Bobby. We have on the phone a caller, Tim from Hartford. Go ahead.
There I am. Good afternoon, guys.
You know, with all due respect, Mr. Kennedy, I left the Democratic Party because of the fact that Clinton and Gore sold out the environment and that issue completely, thinking that there would be no one from the left that would challenge them. They went to a Liverpool, Ohio, to a toxic incinerator to campaign that was less than a half mile from an elementary school, promising to close it. And they never did. They pushed through NAFTA and GATT, which were horrible policies. So it sounds like, you know, you're on here, you know, bashing the Republicans and saying that the only choice is the Democratic Party. And then you said that there was people don't come out and vote for the environment. Well, 3 million of us came out, voted for Ralph Nader for the Green Party. The fact of the matter is, when is the Democratic Party going to really stand up for the environment, start reversing some of these things, closing down the nuclear plants, which Clinton and Gore did nothing to, continued millions and millions of dollars of subsidies to the nuclear industry? You know, is the Democratic Party the only, quote, realistic choice? I don't think so.
All right, let's get an answer. Good question.
I think the Democratic Party has been perfect on the environment? Absolutely not. Do I think Clinton and Gore weren't? Absolutely not. I was very critical of them when they were in office. But this is what's going on in the White House now it's a completely different dimension. And that's one of the points I think I tried to make to Ralph Nader while he was running, and I wrote an article about it, that the kind of, I wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times and the summer before the election, asking that he withdraw from the election just for this reason, to say that there's no difference between the Democrat and Republican Party.
No, sir, he said there's little difference.
Well, I always wanted to know why.
Don't you take contributions from some of the largest? The Democratic Party takes money from some of these large industrial polluters.
Well, absolutely. And as I said, I have a lot of criticism for the Democratic Party and individual Democrats throughout the system. So I'm not defending the Democratic Party. All I'm saying is that if you look at the differences between the Republican and Democratic Party, you know, the Bill Clinton fought since 1995 till the end of his term to stop the Gingrich Congress from dismantling 30 years, from eviscerating 30 years of environmental law, and he succeeded in doing that. But now we have the Gingrich Congress and the Gingrich Senate, and we have the Bush White House. We have
right,
the
and
same
we have
people,
the...
and they are succeeding in, you know, they're not only not advancing the ball, but they are taking apart 30 years of environmental law and handing the commons, the public trust, the air, the water, the endangered species, the wildlife, our public lands, over to large corporations for exploitation. They're treating our country as if it were a business in liquidation, and they're giving away our public trust assets at a fire sale. And that's, if your argument is that there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats,
no, sir,
you're wrong.
You mischaracterize it. You know, we're saying that there's little difference. It's just a matter of how quickly they go down on the knees to help the corporate.
Well, I
agree with you that there's big problems in the Democratic Party, but you're making this point that there's no difference between the two parties. There's a huge difference, and we would be doing a lot better.
No, I'm saying that you have a real alternative to vote for, and I respectfully disagree with you. Thank you very much. It's not a realistic alternative. I
don't believe that you can separate environmental issues from all the other issues that we have to deal with as a society, labor issues and health care. I think they're all intertwined, and jobs and the economy. And I think to try to take them out and remove environmental issues and have its own party, where we are really a two-party system, and that's kind of the system that we're living with.
That's true.
If we can't make our point within one of those parties, if we can't make our argument and mobilize a political constituency to steer that party towards,
Bobby, thank you very much. I'm afraid we're out of time here, but I thank you for joining me.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No, I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Free Lax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More labor strife in France has nearly a half million workers, including teachers, bank employees, staff at the Postal Service, and workers at state-run France Telecom, went on strike again yesterday over government plans to reform the national pension system. Last week, a larger, more broad-based strike all but shut the country down, but since then, many of France's unions have come to terms with a slightly revised plan. Others have not, and they say they'll keep the pressure on as a run-up to a mass demonstration in Paris planned for Sunday.
Tropicana, the way Las Vegas was meant to be.
It's one of the oldest casinos on the Strip in Las Vegas, but union workers at the Tropicana Hotel are betting their employer won't be around much longer. The Tropicana is no longer booking conventions beyond May of 2004, leading many workers to speculate that hotel managers are preparing to demolish the casino to make way for a new development. As a result, Tropicana employees want a guarantee that they'll be the first to be hired if a new resort is built on the old site, and until they win such an agreement, they warn that picket lines and work stoppages may be imminent. The Tropicana's 1,200 union employees were the only such workers in Las Vegas left without a contract last year when the city's powerful culinary union won a new contract from every other resort and casino.
Government workers in South Korea are lobbying hard for the right to form a union, and the government seems keen to the idea with one catch. Government employees will be prohibited from going on strike. But the workers, many of whom think forming a union without the right to strike leaves them powerless, may walk off the job before they get permission to. The union-to-be, which already has more than 100,000 members, says it began a strike ballot this week, and the results should be known before the end of the month.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, gang, I'm here, and you're there, and the phone number is 1-800-825-5937. We got this big old Memorial Day weekend coming up, and I can't wait to hear what you're going to be doing on it. We know what Congress is going to be doing. They just passed this $800 gazillion tax cut, which really should be called the Social Security Destruction Act, or maybe it should be called the Bankrupt the Government Act. In the last segment, I was talking with Bobby Kennedy Jr., and Tim from Hartford called in with the very observant comment that the Democrats and the Republicans don't seem to have a whole lot of difference going on between them. Now, when it came to this tax cut, the Democrats really did a very, 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 very poor job of arguing against it. It was pointed out that Bill Clinton might have made the case that we have a choice between a tax cut or saving Social Security, between a tax cut and having Medicare. But what the Democrats did without their field marshal, Bill Clinton, at the helm, they said, well, we'll give you a different tax cut. So they managed to totally destroy any perception of difference between the two parties and destroy any clear-cut choice for the American people to make. And they made it a choice between one tax cut or another tax cut, which is a very difficult case to make, particularly in a media environment which is ruled by black and whites, one story at a time, and absolutely no subtlety. So the question became, well, do you want a tax cut? Which tax cut do you want? Not do you want to have a government or not, because what this tax cut is going to do is absolutely bankrupt the government. We're already seeing it, because the Homeland Security Department is having its budget cut by 20%. And as everybody gets ready to take their summer vacation, maybe go on a little trip here or there or fly around someplace, we're finding that the number of airport screeners is being cut. There are going to be about 12% fewer airport screeners, so that's going to mean longer lines to go through the metal detectors. It means you're going to have to wait longer to have your shoes taken off by some Transportation Security Administration person. And you could be waiting for up to an hour at some of the busier airports, at some of the busier travel times in order to have your anal cavities probed. But, of course, that's only going to be if you're a little old lady, because we don't do any kind of profile or try to sort out who gets checked. It's all random, folks. It's all random. Linda from San Jose, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was listening to your comments about the difference between Democrats and Republicans on environmental issues. And I remember the Clinton administration being very pro-environment. I think the Democrats are now at a real disadvantage because of the close number of seats that they're sharing with the Republicans in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
In years past, when they had a good cushion of seats, they were able to pass through a lot of the really good environmental laws that we are in danger of losing today.
That's right, yeah.
And I really do believe that if we could get the Democrats with another good cushion of seats, a nice margin of seats, both in the Senate and in the House, and I think it is entirely doable. I think that the American people feel that they are being their second banana to Iraq right now. I think that everywhere I've gone, absolutely everywhere, if I've been making conversation with people around me, we are talking about the massive amount of money that's going to Iraq, and nothing is coming to us. And
That's absolutely true.
This is a massive undercurrent of terrible, of total, you know, revolution going on among ordinary Americans, and I encourage all of them to go out and vote.
Well, know? Linda, that was my question for you. How do you propose that we mobilize this undercurrent of dissatisfaction and turn it into something that's going to give us that cushion of Democratic-held seats in the legislatures?
I think that what we need to do is what I've been trying to do here locally, is to shake up your local Democratic Party committee. I have contacted the chairman of my local Democratic Party committee here and really shaken him up and challenged him to explain himself, to explain what the Democrats are doing, not only nationally but locally. And he couldn't do it, and so he called a meeting of registered Democrats, and we've turned it into a monthly meeting, sort of a moaning and bitching session of what is wrong. How can we get people to join us when we all see how we're going down, you know, the wrong path? Our country is not going forward, it's really going backward, and we're making some progress, and I recommend that everyone who is listening to me, whether they are whatever party they are, they should call their local Democratic Party committee,
mm-hmm,
chairman, and tell them that you're really close to not voting in the next election for Democrat, and then to demand that they start listening to you, I think that we have the ideas. We in the party, in the voter base, we have the ideas that can win the next election.
That's
we
right.
Have them.
I, Yeah. I mean, remember, the majority of people in this country did not vote for this clown in the White House.
Yes.
They did not vote for massive tax cuts to bankrupt the government. They did not vote for right-wing judges that are going to invalidate environmental laws. That's not what the people want.
That's right. And it happened even when Bush outspent Gore by, what, 3 or 4 to 1 in that campaign.
Right.
Money will not win this next election for Bush. I think the next election will be won by the person who has the best ideas for America, not for a special interest group of Americans, but for all of America. And I recommend that everybody get on their phones and start calling their local Democratic Party committees and telling them that, you know, read them a riot act. Tell them that you've got the ideas that will win the election for them in the next election cycle.
Yeah, now don't go away, because I had one thing I like to remind people of, and I'm sorry to say this, and it's sad but true, but we do have a two-party system in this country, though a lot of times it seems like we have a one-party system. But for Ralph Nader to take away votes, or to take votes, 3 million votes for his party, got him nothing. We do not have a parliamentary system in this country where 3 million votes will get you a proportional number of seats in the legislature. I always wondered why Ralph Nader or Al Gore, why Gore didn't go to Nader or Nader go to Gore and say, look, throw your people behind me and I will give you veto power over who becomes the Environmental Protection Administrator. I will let you, Mr. Nader, select who will be head of the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration.
That's right. I've been challenging the Greens that I'm conversing with. I've been challenging them to do something positive about stopping Bush at any cost. And they all say that they are on the bandwagon called Stop Bush at Any Cost in 2004. That's what they claim. Now, I do think, I've told them that until they get inside the Democratic Party and become the liberal left wing of that party, they will have zero effect on the United States of America and policy.
That's right. We saw the right wing wackos take over the Republican Party. They moved it so far to the right, and successfully so. I disagree with everything they stand for, but you saw the John Birch Society essentially take over the Republican Party. There is no reason why the Greens and liberal Democrats can't have that same effect and influence in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but even an even bigger block of voters that we need to pull in are the independents. And they are strongly environmentally conscious, and I think that they can be also, we can form a grand coalition for the next election. We can do it. I believe that it should take people reaching out and having meetings. There should be a big convention, a cross-party convention between now and primary time. I've told my party here in Santa Clara County, and we need to start doing that across the country. It needs to be, you know, let's all get together. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, sometimes that does work, and we can get together and we can form a coalition of, we can have a party again that is not just one thing or another, but is a nice collection of political beliefs, from liberal to even conservative, but they can all be in the same party.
Now, Bobby Kennedy Jr., who was with me in the last segment, had said that most people still believe that the environmental laws are being enforced, that the government is protecting the environment, and everything's okay. There is no major assault going on. I think that's very true. I think people also believe that there is still a graduated income tax in this country, that rich people pay more and are footing the bill for government. People believe a lot of things which really don't obtain anymore. They believe a lot of things which aren't true anymore.
They're not true. And the Democrats have themselves to blame for that as well, because they always thought that they would be the majority in Congress, and are realizing now that the tables have turned on them. That's why I think that we have to a lot of grassroots folks are getting together and buying ads and putting ads out in the public media so that a lot of people can hear alternate viewpoints, because it's not getting on TV or radio, which is so right-wing dominated. But I still think that if we can see the difference between Democrats and Republicans, and I think it is a clear difference, we can already see what it meant to our country in the last 2 years. And we don't need to have something fall on us. We can all get together and say, I will vote Democrat this year, or in 2004, because I am anti-Republican.
Right.
That
That's right.
is what can unite us. I'm anti-Republican. The Republican Party does not represent my interests or even the interests of the country as a, in at large.
Very well put. Linda, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You sound like someone who's very involved in the political process. That's what we all need to be, and I appreciate your call. Do keep listening and call back again. Stan from Birmingham, Alabama, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Curtis.
Good afternoon, Stan. How are you?
Well, pretty good. I'm really enjoying your program today.
Birmingham is a beautiful town. I love it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm celebrating a total of 6 years this month of May that I've been issuing warnings to people on this 1-800-TALK-YES number.
Mm-hmm.
I've been issuing warnings to people about the dangers of predatory capitalism.
Predatory capitalism? Oh, my God.
But I heard this woman on the radio a while ago expressing her concerns, and I think we're at a place in history where it's going to be as difficult for us to preserve our democracy as it was at the very beginning of the country. At the very beginning, for the first two or three decades, there were great doubts in the minds of our leaders whether or not things could really get off the ground and stay off the ground. So here's
well,
what I
right.
think we should do. I think we should duplicate the strategies of the extreme right wing in the realm of the liberal and progressive movements. What we should do is create a huge number of decentralized liberal and progressive think tanks. And
right.
most of them should stay off of the Internet. Because, as you know, and most people know, the Internet is not really as safe as the government and big business would like for us to think it is.
So what do you mean they should stay? These think tanks should not send email? What are you talking about?
No, you should engage in communications, but you should be careful to avoid the potential of being audited on things like the Internet.
I see. Okay.
The extreme right-wing think tanks are the main reason, I feel, that we have lost control of our democracy. So,
well, I think you got a very good point there, Stan.
Yeah.
I mean, the right wing has funded these groups which just sit back and think strategically. They sit around all day. They sit around all day and think, well, how do we frame an issue to make it palatable to the American people? Let's not call it an estate tax. Let's call it a death tax. That's going to sell better.
Yeah,
and
right.
They sit around. Yeah, they sit around all day thinking, how can we control people's minds? And the Democrats and the liberals aren't doing that.
So there
they sit around.
Two things we can do. We can sit around and cry in our beer all day on syndicated radio, or we can use their main strategy, fight fire with fire. I urge each of you to hear my voice. If you can do it, create your own liberal or progressive think tank and engage in writing essays, engage in the same processes of sophistication that the right-wing think tanks have engaged in. One of the things that we've got to overcome is TV. I've been doing some research on TV, and TV operates on the alpha wave of the brain instead of the beta, and the alpha wave is passive or subconscious. This is one of the reasons that the population in our country has become completely disabled in terms of its willpower. TV has become more and more powerful. So they've discovered a long time ago, Dr. Pepper, who was located out in California, who did research at a major university in California, discovered that TV causes your brain to go into the alpha state after
only
20
minutes. Oh, my God. Are you telling me that TV hypnotizes people and makes them numb?
It does. It is a subliminal medium. Even if the programming is not expressly subliminal, the medium unto itself, just through repetition of conscious messages, becomes subliminal. So this is an example of what many think tanks could do. They could adopt the specialized purpose of getting the country to completely wean itself of TV.
other
there
things.
There are no safe viewing levels. There yeah. are no safe viewing levels for television. It
not
is
really.
A
not really. And the repression of the research has been immense. It's another scandal in our system that has not really hit the American public. Now, other think tanks, progressive and liberal think tanks, could adopt the mission of getting us to go back to paper ballot. But whatever think tank you compose, it should be dedicated to one specialized mission. For example, it might take 12 or 1,400 separate think tanks just to get us back to the paper ballot in this country.
All right, Stan, thank you very much. That's Stan from Birmingham, Alabama, coming up with some great ideas how we can take back this country. I want to hear what you have to say. 800-825-5937. My name is Curtis Ellis here on the IE America Radio Network. We got somebody sitting on hold, so don't go away. We're going to be taking your calls when we come back.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Yeah.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, here I am at Seppi's at the Parker Meridian Hotel in beautiful Midtown Manhattan, West 57th Street, just to the left of Carnegie Hall. You want to come on down here if you're in New York. You're going to get a good bite to eat here at Seppi's. Really good food. And Adam in Alabama, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Curtis, for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to make a comment. Just before the break, you made a comment that you did not believe anything, or you were not in favor of anything that current administration or the Bush crime family, I think is what you referred to it as.
No, that wasn't me. But go ahead anyway.
Well, I just wanted to ask you to address two points if you could.
Sure.
I want to ask, why don't you agree with the marriage tax? A, and secondly, why don't you see the fact that the top 10% in this country is paying for the 90?
And, well, okay, is that it?
And yeah, I mean, I want to see. I just wanted to understand your reasoning behind.
Okay, all right.
Why you wouldn't agree with those two? What I think is very beneficial to everyone in this country.
Okay, very good, Adam. Thanks for calling. I never said I don't agree with anything the Bush administration does, though. That's I might find one or two things. I definitely think that the marriage tax should be eliminated. That people should not have to pay a penalty for getting married. I do believe that the top 10% should pay more in taxes, both as a percentage and in dollars, than other people, because the people who are wealthier have benefited more from this country. When I came out of my mother's womb, I was no different than Mr. Rockefeller when he came out of his mother's womb, but he is doing much better. And he is getting a lot more money, and he is probably not sending his kids to fight in Iraq. That's going to be left for the poor people and the working people in this country to do. So they are not paying to defend this country in blood. They might as well pay in money. Now, I know when I make more money, I have nothing against paying more in taxes. I happen to believe that if I benefit from this great free enterprise system, I am willing to pay to keep this whole system going. And I know that when I spend money, that money is going to end up back in a rich person's pocket anyway. So I'm not afraid to be taxed. That's just redistributing the wealth. It's going to go around and around and around. It's going to end up back in those smart, wealthy people's pockets anyway. Now, give us a call, 800-825-5937. My name is Curtis Ellis. We got a lot more coming up. We got a real exciting show for you guys for this holiday weekend, so don't go away.
Listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Peter
Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Woken. Vice President Dick Cheney cast the tie-breaking vote as the Senate gave final approval to a $350 billion tax cut bill. The House approved it overnight, and President Bush is expected to sign it soon. Terry Moore reports.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said the measure will help the sagging economy.
Grow the economy, create jobs, and job security.
But Minnesota Democrat Mark Dayton said it's another tax giveaway to the rich.
This tax bill is one of the most dangerous and destructive and dishonorable acts of government that I've ever seen.
Democrats also argued the measure will explode the already fast-rising federal deficit. This package is significantly smaller than the roughly $725 billion proposal that President Bush originally asked for, but he said this week he is looking forward to signing it. I'm Terry Moore on Capitol Hill.
There's word today that Saddam Hussein's son Uday may be thinking of surrendering to U.S. forces. Sources saying the U.S. has not been willing to concede much because officials believe Uday will be caught sooner or later anyway. Uday is Saddam's eldest son and was commander of Iraq's paramilitary unit known as the Saddam Fadayeen. He is number three on the coalition's most wanted list after his father and his brother Qusay. It's graduation day for the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was the keynote speaker. Rumsfeld told the graduating class of 2003 the safety of the world will be depending on them.
Recognize and respect the role you have chosen. The future of our country, to be sure, but to a great extent, the future of the world will be in your hands. We thank you for volunteering. We thank you for stepping forward, for your willingness, indeed your eagerness, to shoulder that immense responsibility.
Rumsfeld added that those destined for the Navy and Marine Corps will serve in ways they never imagined. He said, to defend freedom in the 21st century, Rumsfeld encouraged the graduating seniors to bring innovation, flexibility, and agility. We'll have more in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes, so it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor. Because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
The U.S. has responded to Israeli concerns about some elements of the Mideast roadmap to peace. Secretary of State Colin Powell and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice issued a statement saying the U.S. will address the concerns and considers them to be legitimate. The Palestinians have thus far accepted the two-state peace plan, but Israel has some security issues. Officials says President Bush was considering meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, but diplomatic sources said there could be no talks until Israel accepts the plan. We'll have more in a moment.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of four selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
An infection control specialist with the Centers for Disease Control is being airlifted from Taiwan to the U.S. after developing symptoms consistent with SARS. The man fell ill while helping Taiwanese officials cope with a sudden influx of new cases. The CDC says the scientist has not tested positive for the virus, though thought to cause SARS. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has lifted its SARS travel warnings for Hong Kong and the southern Chinese province because the outbreaks of the potentially deadly disease in those places are being contained. A large funeral service company and two of its employees have been charged with felonies amid allegations bodies were unearthed to make more room at overcrowded Florida cemeteries. Florida's attorney general says the charges stem from mishandled burials at two Menorah Garden cemeteries in Palm Beach and Broward counties. The state has been investigating the facilities since families alleged in 2001 that their loved ones' remains had been dug up and dumped to make room for new bodies. I'm Marnie Wilkin, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, he's got that right. I'm the very special guest host, Curtis Ellis, here. Don't worry, Peter and Julene will be back next week sometime. They're taking that holiday weekend. They're not letting this Code Orange alert stop them from having a Memorial Day weekend. And I'm wondering, folks, what are you doing on this Code Orange holiday weekend? Are you prepared if you are attacked on the beach? If you go to the beach and some terrorists attack you, are you going to kick sand in their face? This is something you should think about because these terrorists come from countries that have a lot of sand, gang, so you better be prepared. Do you have your duct tape packed in your picnic basket? Are you going to invite a terrorist for a picnic this holiday weekend because they come with their own tablecloth? Yes. Are you going to pack pork hot dogs for your weenie roast because Muslim fundamentalists find this repellent? Or are you just going to have your weenie roast in your panic room? I'd like to know if this is still the home of the brave, if you're brave enough to go out there and enjoy this holiday weekend despite our Code Orange alert. My phone number here is 800-825-5937. You can talk about that. Talk about whatever you want. We got free speech here on the radio. You talk about whatever you want, and I'll just do whatever I want anyway. Coming up later in this hour, I've got sitting across the table from me here at CEPI's at the Parker Meridian Hotel, Julie Kowitz, who is the director of the Women in Prison Project. I'm sure I just mangled her name, but she'll be telling us all about what they're up to, some very interesting things. They have enlisted Danny Glover to help them out. The Women in Prison Project, they are brave. They are not going to blacklist Danny Glover like some of those right-wing wackos on TV want us to do. And I say, anything that Danny Glover has signed up for, I'm supporting it. I don't care what it is, I'm supporting it. And we'll find out what he's signed up for. But in the meantime, Russ from Santa Cruz has been very patient. You called 800-825-5937, and now you're getting your just desserts. You're on the air.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey.
Hey, I'm gonna wrap myself in duct tape and seal myself in the closet and put on my gas mask and not leave the house this weekend.
Oh, great. That'll really help the economy.
Yeah.
Man, that's one hell of a way to celebrate Memorial Day. Wrapped in duct tape, locked in a closet. Eh, man. So what else is on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on Linda from San Jose. And she was talking about the Democrats. And
yeah.
I think people should be willing to give these guys one more shot at this election. But I think, and at some point, people need to envision getting somebody different and breaking the mold and finding a party or you know, creating a party or getting an independent person that's not so tied into the corporate lockdown.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, remember, the environmental laws that were passed under Richard Nixon. And the Environmental Protection Agency was created in a Nixon administration. And it was done because there was a massive outpouring of people demanding that something be done. I don't think the Democrats are going to do anything unless we, the people, demand that something be done. I think for too long, we, progressive people, have sat back and expected the Democrats or somebody to just come save us.
Yeah.
And that just is not going to happen.
I just see every week it's another letdown. You know, whether it's, you know, the tax cut or the Patriot Act or the vote on Iraq, there's always, like, a certain proportion of Democrats in Congress that, you know, jump ship and vote with the Republicans. I'm wondering how much longer are people going to take this?
That's right. How much longer are people going to take this? That is a good question. When are we going to start demanding that our so-called leaders do the right thing? The Democrats are afraid to offend the people that are giving them money. And right now, the corporate interests are giving them money. That's why I think they did not come out against this tax cut and just say, we do not need a tax cut. We are spending a lot of money on things that the middle class and the working people of this country need. The government is spending money to help the working class and the middle class of this country. And if we don't have taxes, if we cut the taxes and bankrupt the government, we are going to hurt everyone. But
and
they thought, well, you know, it's the business people that are giving us money, and they'd like a tax cut, so let's just kind of talk about a tax cut, too.
Yeah, I just see them, you know, putting in Joe Lieberman for the next candidate, and it just, you know, it's going to be the same old thing, and Bush is probably going to get elected. So,
All right, so you're willing to give him one more chance, but you want to push him to stand for the right thing. And then
Yeah. You're
willing to give him one more chance in this next election. I just don't believe that Ralph Nader or some third-party guy is going to get elected in 2004. And if we have another 4 years of this crowd in Washington, we can just all move to South Africa.
Well, we need to start a grassroots campaign that starts early and really promote somebody, maybe not this election, but maybe the next.
Yeah.
You know, that to really make a movement, like the peace movement, that, you know, changes the boss in town.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for calling. And
thank
enjoy
you.
Your weekend wrapped in duct tape in your closet. And let's hear what Mark in Santa Fe has to say. Mac. I'm sorry, Mac in Santa Fe. Oh. You're on the air.
Hi there, Curtis.
Hey, how are you?
I got a couple
ideas, and this won't take long.
Okay.
I hope that we can begin to consolidate our gains. In other words, the people who think the way we do, whether they're greens or browns or any other color, and as well as Democrats, and even invite some Republicans to join, who have leanings our way, to join together and sort of give up our pet notions. And those of us who dissent, we consolidate and get together, work together toward a goal. You remember, you know, the old little rhyme that says, as you ramble on through life, brother, whatever be your goal, keep
well,
your
I don't remember
eye upon
that one,
donut,
but
not upon the whole.
Well, so what's your what specifically? Let's get right to the point. What do you think should be done? What are you proposing?
I'm not quite sure how to go about it, but if only we could find some mechanism that could get those of us who are broadly think alike to close ranks, regardless of our small differences, and join
right,
ranks.
That's right. For too long, perfect has been the enemy of the good. And if something's not perfect, we're not going to line up and support it. And as a result, we end up with this really defective crowd in Washington right now. I mean, for all those people who sat back and voted for Ralph Nader, I hope they're happy with what they got right now. And I'll say it just like that. Mac, thanks for calling. I got to move along because I have somebody very patient who's sitting here across the table from me. And there's a couple people on hold. And Robert, we'll get to you in a minute, and Mike from D.C., but Julie, I do want to acknowledge your presence here and introduce you to my vast listening audience, or at least it's a half-vast listening audience here. Julie, is it Cowitz or Cowitz?
It's Cowitz.
Cowitz. Julie Cowitz is the director of the Women in Prison Project, which was created in 1991, and it's basically in New York State, but it addresses issues that affect women in prison. And this is a growth industry, folks. If you're worried about where the future is probably in prison in this country because there's more people in prison all the time. And a lot of them are women. And there's some very specific issues. Women are impacted in the prison population by being part of the prison population. They're impacted in ways that men aren't. And those are some of the things that you're addressing.
Yes, they are, Curtis. I'd say that probably the first and foremost thing that's very different about women in prison than men is that women in prison generally have children, which is not to say that men don't, but women tend to be the primary caretakers of their children before they go to prison. So when they become incarcerated, their children are more likely to go into foster care, which
right.
Has a whole host of problems, as we know.
It can often create the next generation of criminals, too.
Right.
And let me just say that the Women in Prison Project is doing a fundraiser, and that's where Danny Glover comes in. There's tell us about that.
I will. We have an incredibly exciting event coming up on June 9th here in New York City at 7:30. It's going to be at the John Jay College Theater. For those of you who are listening and are within the region and would like to come, I'll give you the phone number later, how you can call up to get tickets. But this event is a dramatic reading of a play by Marcia Norman, and some of you may know her as the person who won the Pulitzer for Night Mother many years ago. And this is Marcia Norman's first play. It's called Getting Out, and it's about a woman, as it sounds, getting out of prison after an 8-year sentence. We have enlisted some very amazing people to work with us on this fabulous benefit. Along with Marcia, Marcia brought in Bob Balaban, who, as many of you know, was the director of The Exonerated here in New York, a wonderful play about people on death row who were ultimately exonerated, and Bob is directing this reading. And we have also Danny Glover, as Curtis mentioned, playing a prison guard who brings the woman prisoner home from prison. We've got Hilary Swank and Chad Lowe playing, interestingly enough, the woman prisoner and her sleazy ex-boyfriend, Pimp. As many of you know, they're married. And we have Jill Clayburgh playing Arlene's mom thus far, and some other great special guests. So it's going to be a very, very special evening, tying together, really fusing art and politics in a very exciting way.
Well, we're all for fusing art and politics here at the IE America Radio Network. I'm speaking with Julie Kowitz of the Women in Prison Project. Our phone number here is 800-825-5937. Feel free to call in, talk about women in prison, talk about what you're doing on the Memorial Day weekend here, whether it's Code Orange has you panicked or whether you're still going ahead and doing whatever you're going to do. So what are some of the impacts of the prison incarceration on women? How are women impacted differently than men?
Well, as I mentioned a minute ago, many, many women in prison, 75% of them are mothers, and they're mothers of many children who end up in foster care. A lot of people are unaware of a recent law that was passed in 1997, which is called the Adoption and Safe Families Act. And actually, this was a law that was pushed by the Clintons. It's in one of those great ironies. And the intent of this law was to speed up adoptions of children in foster care, which in itself could be a very laudable goal. We don't want children languishing in foster care for years and years if they're unable to return to their parents. One of the consequences that the Clintons did not think about was what the effect would be on incarcerated parents.
Well, we're going to find out the impact of this law on incarcerated parents and how hard it is for a woman getting out of prison to go straight and to find a real job. Our phone number here is 800-825-5937. My name is Curtis Ellis, and call in now. We'll get you right on the air. Don't go away. We got a lot more coming up.
You don't rule for 900 years by being nice. You got peasants to enslave and political rivals to murder because they would kill for your job. You are Tsar, and even to this day, your country bears the mark of your rule. Russia, land of the Tsars. The world premiere event this Memorial Day at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. A story so incredible, it can only be true.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message. It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, you heard that number. Now it's your turn to punch that into your little keypad and get in the conversation. 825-5937. 1-800-825-5937. My name's Curtis Ellis. I'm here with Julie Kowitz, the director of the Women in Prison Project. They let her out for the afternoon so she could be the lovely co-host or co-hostess of our show. Tony in D.C., thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. I think it's a wonderful thing that the young lady is doing for the women in prison. I think it's demoralizing that anybody would have a child in such an environment, though. But like you always say on the station, they worry. They don't worry about the baby. I mean, they worry about the fetus, but they don't worry about the baby. But I have to go back to what you said. You made it very clear, part of the Democratic Party and the other progressive. They want some. The Greens want something perfect, and they made it so clear: you can't have a perfect union. It just can't happen.
Their politics in America is built on compromise. You go for, you set out what you want, and if you get half of it, you're lucky.
It's just like if you had, I mean, you're gonna throw away half a loaf of bread if you're hungry. If you don't have a whole loaf, it just doesn't make sense. And that's all I wanted to say. But you made it so clear, and I hope people open up. I mean, it's just so ridiculous to die on your sword and let them just walk over you.
All right. Well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
And Robert, you got your buddy down the hall, Robert in D.C. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to call in. And by the way, I'm hoping that we can get some contact info for Mr. Kennedy so we can write him some letters and thank him for being on and for taking the heat from some of us who I think need to switch to decaf.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, see, the thing is I understand so many of the passions of the people that are Green Party members and the people that have already left the party. And the fact is that I have not decided yet whether or not I'm going to vote for the Democratic candidate in 2004 because, I think there's a lot of wisdom to what Ralph Nader said. But the problem is that he was dead wrong in 2000. As you have said, there is a big difference between the candidates.
That's right. And I still, and I'm going to say it again, Ralph Nader should have gone to Al Gore and he said, look, I will tell my people to vote for you if you will just let me pick the head of the Environmental Protection Administration.
Right.
And pick the head of the National High. That's the way politics is done in America.
Right.
That's the way it works. It's horse trading. But no, he's going to be Mr. Idealist, and he's going to say, I'll bring the whole thing down in flames because I want to be the perfect guy.
It's very true, and you literally took the words out of my mouth in quoting the, you know, allowing the perfect to be the enemy of the good. Or as Chris from New Mexico has put it, you know, we Democrats never miss a chance to eat our own young.
Yeah.
It's
perfect circular firing squad we got going sometimes.
Well, that's exactly the thing. And the fact is we have to play to our strengths. And it's always nice to hear from Mac, who in many ways is the elder statesman of IE America Radio, because he has a lot of wisdom, and he really was putting his finger on the fact that we have to play to our strengths as a party, And as our, you know, our system of approaching things as Democrats and as liberals. And
okay, Robert, I got a question for you, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Now, what are you doing this holiday weekend under this Code Orange alert? Are you going to wrap yourself in duct tape? Are you putting a gas mask in with your picnic basket? What are you doing?
I'm actually back at school on the weekends, so I'm going to be working on a term paper and a presentation.
Aha, because, you know, they said that this attack might come in Washington, Boston, or New York. It seems like these terrorists like the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
I think they should be doing some California dreaming. Let us off the hook for a minute.
Oh, I hear you. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Hey, we got to look in the mirror, and we've got to face the fact that we have been weak. We have not done the job in supporting what we believe in, and, you know, we haven't been out there communicating, we haven't been spending the money, and we haven't been putting in the work to make sure that we got it.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. Have a great holiday weekend. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. My name is Curtis Ellis. I am here with Julie Kowitz, the director of the Women in Prison Project. We're going to be talking some more serious specifics about women in prison and what can be done to make their lot better and all of our lot better.
You want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs, like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. 3 weeks into their strike, workers at the Dresser Corporation's Waukesha engine plant in suburban Milwaukee are holding strong.
I'm not a person to advocate striking. This is a second strike I've been on. And I've worked at many different places, but this is the first time I felt like I've been forced out on strike.
Mark Rohrwasser is among some 500 workers with Machinists Union Local 1377 who've been on the picket line since May 2nd when the union rejected their employer's call for $5 million worth of concessions. 1377 President Don Griffin says the givebacks would mean a serious reduction in living standards for active and retired machinists.
Make it mandatory that the retirees pay a portion towards the premiums for health care as retirees. Attack the seniority system, enabling them to lay off and recall whoever they want, regardless of seniority. And the other issue is a permanent two-tier wage system that would potentially affect our members.
Griffin says a meeting yesterday with a federal mediator did little to bridge the gap between labor and management.
While the on-again, off-again general strike in Israel finally ground to a halt this week with the government's acceptance of a less ambitious public sector downsizing plan, the country now faces a shaky power grid due to labor action at the state-run electric company. There will still be mass layoffs in the public sector, and those who survive with jobs will still see their pay cut, but not by as much as the Israeli finance ministry originally wanted to. However, workers at the Israel Electric Corporation say the ministry still has plans to split up the utility and privatize several parts of it, and for that they plan to delay maintenance on the power grid, which is expected to lead to widespread outages. When the stop work order will happen and how long it will last is yet to be decided. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yay, gang. Coming up on this holiday weekend, I'm here at the Parker Meridian Hotel, their fabulous bistro called Seppi's. If you're in New York on West 57th Street, stop by, get something to eat. Come by right now and join the broadcast. Otherwise, you can call that phone number, 800-825-5937. Here with me at Seppi's is Julie Kowitz, who is the director of the Women in Prison Project. I'm just having a, I'm just blocking on your name. I don't know why. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. I feel terrible. The Women in Prison Project addresses some of those special issues that women in the prison system face. They're having a big fundraiser coming up. Jill Clayburgh, Danny Glover, and Hilary Swank are going to be doing a staged reading of Marsha Norman's play, Getting Out. This happens on Monday, June 9th. If you're going to be in New York, you want to come down and throw them a few bucks, see a great reading of some very talented people, support the Women in Prison Project, and show your support for Danny Glover, who seems to be coming under increasing fire by right-wing wackos. But this is not about Danny Glover. It's about women in prison. And, Julie, you were telling me before, you were talking about how when a woman goes to prison, she may lose custody of her child.
Right, exactly. This law that I mentioned before, the Adoption and Safe Families Act, has a provision that says if your child is in foster care for 15 out of the last 22 months, the state has to terminate your parental rights. And that is really without regard to whether there's been an abuse or neglect proceeding against you in the case of a woman in prison. So we have situations in New York and around the country where a woman in New York, for example, under the Rockefeller drug laws, will go to jail for 1 to 3 years for selling a $10 vial of crack. And one of the collateral consequences of that conviction will be that she will lose her children if they go into foster care. And this may be a mother who has never had any run-in with child welfare in her life. She may be a very competent mother, but if she has nowhere to place her children, she doesn't have family to take her kids, those kids may end up being severed from her forever. So it's one of these crazy, you know, consequences of conviction that really are punishment beyond the punishment for the crime.
Yeah, there seem to be so many of those laws out there. There's another one that was passed during the Clinton years that if you, as a grandma or anybody living in public housing, if one of your kids or your grandchildren is convicted of having drugs, you could be thrown out of your apartment.
Right, absolutely. And that applies also in New York. You cannot live in public housing in New York if you have any kind of drug conviction. That's both NYCHA housing, that's our public housing, our projects, and Section 8, which is a federal program. So people get out of prison, and what ends up happening is they go live in shelters. Even if they have family, they can live with, because they're, you know, we know that the people who go to prison tend to be poor people of color. I mean, that's just the reality in this country.
Yeah.
Where do they tend to live? In supported public housing. They can't go back to that housing. So you think about trying to turn your life around. If you're a woman, you probably end up in New York going to the Brooklyn Women's Shelter.
No, hold it, hold it. Why can't they go back to the public housing?
Because they can't get the housing themselves if they've had a drug felony, and most people go to prison in New York for drugs, and they can't go live with their families because their families aren't allowed to have somebody living there who has any kind of drug felony.
They're not allowed to have someone living with them who has a drug felony?
Correct.
Even if they've done their time?
Correct.
Oh,
that's correct.
Oh, my God. That is unbelievable. Now, how do we expect people to get straight and live a straight life if you're going to give them so many handicaps?
Well, there's any number of them. I mean, on top of possibly losing your children, having nowhere to live, there are all kinds of job restrictions. One of the issues that is raised in Getting Out, and it's one of these sort of things that makes the play so wonderful and makes it so awfully sad, is that it's still true today. This play was written in 1977. One of the things that happens to Arlene is that the only vocational program she could get in prison was hairdressing. But in Louisville, Kentucky in 1977, when she got out of prison, she wasn't allowed to get a license to be a hairdresser. Well, you know what? That is the same in New York State and many places around the country today. Vocational training for women in prison is hairdressing and cosmetology. That's what they have in most of the women's facilities. They have very little business training, very little computer training, very little plumbing or other sorts of training for women, good jobs. They get trained to be hairdressers. They come out. They can't work as a hairdresser because they're not allowed to be licensed as hairdressers in New York.
Jeez. This is supposed to be a, we are told by the right-wing Christian fundamentalist types, that this is a Christian nation. And I was led to believe that Christianity believes in forgiveness. yet there seems to be precious little of that going around.
That's for sure.
Now, what are some of the specific programs that the Women in Prison Project engages in?
Well, we have a bunch of policy advocacy and public education projects. We do spend time as well. One of the things I do is I coordinate a large group called the Coalition for Women Prisoners. And that's an alliance of lawyers, teachers, interested citizens, former prisoners, drug treatment providers. I mean, you name it, students. There's probably about 300 members we have statewide from different organizations. And we advocate with legislators and with corrections around some of these issues, trying to ameliorate the conditions of confinement and trying to change some of these collateral consequences of conviction. But it's on so many levels. You know, it's city, state, and federal, some of these restrictions. So, you know, for example, one of our very successful campaigns last year was convincing the legislature and the governor of this state to allow battered women who struck back against their batterers to be eligible again for the work release program. They mm-hmm. were excluded from that program with all other so-called violent felons back in 1995. So that was a huge victory for us last year. Now we're really pushing for early parole for domestic violence survivors who strike back. you know, these are women basically who've never committed another crime in their life, who usually have committed this crime in direct self-defense and end up getting sentenced to very, very steep sentences, sometimes 15 to life, for killing their abuser. It's been, you know, so they've been in prison in a relationship, and then they end up in prison for a decade or more. So we're really trying to just ease some of the pain that these women have suffered and help them reintegrate into society.
Huh. Okay, I'm speaking with Julie Akowitz from the direct. She's the director of the Women in Prison Project, which is going to be doing a big fundraiser with a Marsha Norman play called Getting Out. Billy in California, you're on the air.
I'd like to ask your guest a question, and then I'll build on that.
Okay.
Are in women's prisons, are drugs available?
It is the dirty little secret of prison systems around the country, but in general, drugs are available in most prisons around the country, even though the authorities try to keep out contraband like drugs. But yes,
okay,
drugs tend to be available.
So let's use that reality. So where the feds have 100% control, there are drugs being sold. You know,
right.
You guys are so right about the last election and how the fools that we call leaders handled it. Nader lied to us when he said there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. And Gore wasn't smart enough to figure how to get Nader on board.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic leader, Terry McAuliffe?
Right.
He's another corporate criminal. these are the facts, Jack. You know, this is the truth. I'm not charming. I don't need to be like you guys because, you know, you're hosts and you have careers. I'm anonymous. I'll tell you the truth about this world.
Mm-hmm.
For example.
Yeah, tell it like it is, Billy. That's what the airwaves need more of.
Well, I'm trying my best, doll. So let's look at this. You know, this Clinton, this Democrat, my state voted overwhelmingly to allow marijuana to be available to very sick, dying people.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And did you remember how that president of ours, how that Clinton got behind us and supported that state's vote?
No, you don't remember that. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, that's right. Because your memory's good. It didn't happen. So on some, you know, it's really hard to get behind something that isn't there. There is no Democratic Party anymore. They don't stand for anything. If the Democrats wanted to win, believe it or not, they would go against what looks like the polls, which is America's Against Drugs, and they would get up and say, you know what, we're tired of this making war on our own citizens when they haven't done anything wrong. It's not okay for them to moralize and have the guy who writes the Book of Virtues be addicted to one weed and literally destroy families and throw people in jail and use my tax money because someone chooses a different weed. Am I crazy?
That's right.
or is there something here?
No, I think you're onto something there, Billy. And I wanted to ask Julie about this. Another way that women are unfairly penalized in the prison system is, particularly here in New York, where we've got these draconian Rockefeller drug laws where just for one conviction you can get sent away for decades. A lot of times, because as you said, a lot of the people in prison are poor people, people of color. You'll have some dude, some superfly dude, selling drugs out of his apartment, and he's got his wife or his girlfriend just sitting there.
Right.
And she drives the car and doesn't know.
She drives the car, or she's not dealing drugs. She's taking care of the baby.
Right.
And then when he gets busted, she gets busted.
Constructive possession. That's usually what that's called.
And what happens?
Well, very often, another one of these great ironies of our system is that he may actually be part of a larger drug conspiracy, so he can give the authorities evidence about others and get his sentence knocked down. He'll get a good plea deal. She's probably not going to know anything about a larger drug conspiracy. She's not going to have anybody to offer up. So she's going to end up getting nailed, and that happens very often. Same thing with drug mules who completely unwittingly have a package of drugs, and that does happen. I know people find that sort of phenomenal, but many women are in these relationships. The guy says, bring this bag to my brother. She does it. She gets nailed. She goes to prison for 15
exactly.
to life.
So respond to my question. What about picking up the gauntlet that I've thrown and have the Democrats say, we're getting rid of these draconian drug laws. We're not going to try to strong-arm Canada when they try to do the right things by their citizens. If the Democrats stood for something, how about this?
All right. Thank you, Billy.
Well, I don't know what you think.
Well, go ahead. My question to you, Julie, is you've heard Billy's question. Are you asking some of the candidates and some of the politicians on the federal level to address some of these inequities in sentencing, mandatory sentencing, and even in drug laws?
There are actually many groups that we work with that also do that kind of advocacy on the federal level. We don't. On the state level, though, here in New York, in New York, as you've mentioned, the Rockefeller drug laws are the granddaddy of all drug laws in this country. We have put a lot of pressure on politicians in this state to just get rid of these things once and for all. I mean, there's been protest, there has been uprising particularly in the last 5 years, and everyone, we have the governor, we have the assembly, we have the Senate, all saying they're for drug law reform, and yet no one is doing it. No one will bite the bullet and do it. I mean, my personal opinion is that you let all these people out of prison under the drug laws. Prisons are a big business in this state. You've got a lot of upstate legislators where the only economic development in their county is a prison.
Right.
And there have been some very good studies by the Sentencing Project very recently. They've shot holes into that idea that prisons actually are a good economic development tool. That's a separate subject. but that's one of the reasons they fight it, because prisons mean jobs. And you close prisons, what are all those prison guards going to do? We've got 70 prisons in this state. 70.
Yes,
38
just
of them,
in New York State.
Just in New York State. 38 of them built since 1982 when we started enforcing the drug laws with real vigor in this state. It's just been an explosion. So that's 32 prisons up till 1982 for the whole history of New York State, 38 since 1982.
Well, now you're seeing, to address Billy's concern here, prisons are big business, and a lot of those prisoners are drug convictions.
Right.
And you now have a huge industry, a huge economic vested interest in incarcerating people, keeping people in prison, sending more people to prison, and the quickest and easiest way to do it is on something like drug laws. You
Absolutely.
Don't have to wait for anybody to kill anybody. You don't have to wait for somebody to throw a brick through a window and grab the diamond necklace out of the window. You don't have to wait for somebody to steal a car. You can go out and find them using drugs.
Right. And there's another little wrinkle to this, which is that prisoners are counted for population purposes as living in the county where they're incarcerated. So all of the federal dollars that go along with the census, highway money, et cetera, you transfer these populations from downstate areas in New York to upstate into the prisons, and all that money that goes with it and all that electoral influence flows upstate. So in addition to the jobs, you have this federal money that the state is really vying for and those upstate counties want.
Oh, so I get it. So Tom DeLay, the House whip, the Republican leader, who's a super conservative wacko, he'll want to take all of the black people out of Houston, have them sent to prison in some redneck part of the state so they can elect a Republican to send to Congress, because those people are now going to be counted as residents of this Republican area. And they can't vote there. They're
right.
just counted.
Right. Exactly.
Man, this is scary.
Yeah, it is. It is scary.
And then you've got, on top of it, you've got the fact that now prisoners are put to work. They're making things.
Right. People have this idea in this country, I think because of some of the more outrageous prisoner lawsuits that were publicized, you know, the crunchy versus creamy peanut butter, you know, kinds of lawsuits, that prisoners really have it very easy. But I visited many of the prisons in the state, and I can tell you that, you know, prisoners, for example, work for about 10 cents an hour or less all day at very difficult jobs very often. Very often they're out in the communities where they're in prison, which are not their own communities, you know, picking up sticks, doing road work. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't, there shouldn't be a sense of rehabilitative justice, that people shouldn't get back to the community when they've committed some sort of crime. But wouldn't it be interesting if they were doing that in their own communities rather than doing it in a white upstate community that has nothing to do with them? So, you know, prison is a very, very rough place to be, whether you're a man or a woman.
You mean prison's not fun? I am shocked. I am shocked, Julie.
I know. It's shocking.
We have the director of the Women in Prison Project here. They let her out. She's on her work release program, and her work today is talking to me and talking to you if you call 1-800-825-5937. Julie Kowitz has been nice enough to come down here and talk to us about the Women in Prison Project and about the work they're doing to address some of the injustices, the particular injustices that women in prison face. They've got a fundraiser coming up on June 9th. It's called Getting Out. It's the Marsha Norman play. Jill Clayburg, Hilary Swank, Boys Don't Cry, you might remember her in that movie, and Danny Glover will be doing a staged reading of this play. Bob Balaban, the very talented director and actor, will be directing this. Our number is 800-825-5937. Now, I am just, the more I think about the dimensions of the prison problem, the scarier it gets. We have one more segment coming up, so folks, you want to get in to the conversation, now's the time to call 800-825-5937. My name's Curtis Ellis. Julie Kowitz from the Women in Prison Project is here with us, so give us a call and enjoy this holiday weekend, starting right now.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Because after he built the house...
What about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the May Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you're repainting a room, come in today and buy 2 gallons of Ace Royal Touch Eggshell Wall and Trim Paint at $16.99 each and get the third gallon free. Not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of May. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
The following conversation is real. It took place on March 11th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Michael. How may I help you?
Hi. My wife just called and said the car is running and the baby is inside. I was just hoping that you guys could unlock.
Okay, no problem, sir. Home phone number, area code first.
281.
When you have OnStar, an advisor can send a signal to unlock your doors, even if you're 1,000 miles away.
Do you know if it's parked in the open?
I do not know. I've got my wife in with conference here.
Okay.
Hello?
Jim? All right. Is the vehicle parked in the open?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. How old is the baby inside?
He's 9 months.
OnStar is available on the Chevy Trailblazer. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com/Trailblazer.
I am showing the vehicle's unlocked if you'd like to check.
Yay! You're the best. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And what's your name, sir?
My name is Michael.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and I'm glad.
You're a lifesaver.
Well, we appreciate having you all as our subscribers.
So do we after today.
OnStar.
always there, always ready.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How are you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, you better call that number or we're going to have you locked up in prison with a bunch of women. Unless you are a woman, and then we're going to lock you up with a bunch of guys. I don't know. I'm here with Julie Kowitz from the she's the director of the Women in Prison Project, and it ain't no laughing matter, folks. They're addressing all of these problems that women in prison face. We've only got a short time left here, so before I ask you to give out your contact information, let's hear from Mark in Santa Fe.
Hi. Hi, Julie. Hi, Curtis.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm working on the Women's Recidivism Project here in New Mexico.
Great.
And I was very surprised by a lot of things. The first thing that hit me is there is a difference between women in prison and men in prison. And
yep.
I'm sure Julie knows what I'm talking about, because it took me a long time to sort out the difference on the committee, and I finally knew what to say when it came in reference to women or men instead of putting them both. But we're working mainly on the classification aspect, in that women are sanctioned for the same things, if they receive the same sanctions that a man does, yet their offenses in prison are something like trading cigarettes or trading lipstick, and the men's offenses can be very dark.
Right.
And so we found this to be one of the problems in at least making it fairer in prison. But when it the statistic I would like to Julie to either verify or maybe she can give me a better one, the one that really surprised me was how many women have killed women in federal prisons. Well, the answer we found was zero.
Okay.
Julie, can you confirm that?
You know, I can't confirm it, but I'll tell you it doesn't surprise me, because in general, women in prison are not in for violent offenses. They're usually in for drug offenses or other nonviolent property-type offenses, stealing somebody's
wallet. That one blew us away, and
yeah.
So it also makes me, I'm still searching to see the statistic on state prisons, and it's very, very low. We know already. We just can't find an incident, but I'm really reluctant to say zero for state.
Right.
But
okay, Mark, thank you. Mark, thanks very much. We just got a few seconds left. Julie, people want to get in touch with the Women in Prison Project. What do they do?
Call 212-254-5700 or go on the web at www.correctionalassociation.org.
Well, thank you very much. Julie Kowitz, the director of the Women in Prison Project. They've got a staged reading of Getting Out coming up on June 9th. If you're going to be in New York City, you want to come on down to that, 7:30, June 9th, 2003. I'm Curtis Ellis. Our phone number here is 800-825-5937. We got more coming up here on our great big holiday weekend show. Don't go away.
You've been listening to The Peter Wuerbe Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Marna Wogan. Vice President Dick Cheney cast the tie-breaking vote as the Senate gave final approval to a $350 billion tax cut bill. The House approved it overnight, and President Bush is expected to sign it soon. Terry Moore reports.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said the measure will help the sagging economy.
Grow the economy, create jobs, and job security.
But Minnesota Democrat Mark Dayton said it's another tax giveaway to the rich.
This tax bill is one of the most dangerous and destructive and dishonorable acts of government that I've ever seen.
Democrats also argued the measure will explode the already fast-rising federal deficit. This package is significantly smaller than the roughly $725 billion proposal that President Bush originally asked for, but he said this week he is looking forward to signing it. I'm Terry Moore on Capitol Hill.
The U.S. has responded to Israeli concerns about some elements of the Mideast roadmap to peace. Secretary of State Colin Powell and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice issued a statement saying the U.S. will address the concerns and considers them to be legitimate. The Palestinians have thus far accepted the two-state peace plan, but Israel has some security issues. Officials said President Bush was considering meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, but diplomatic sources said there could be no talks until Israel accepts the plan. With Memorial Day weekend upon us, many Houstonians will be taking to the roads, and that means all eyes will be on gasoline prices. Paul Gonzalez with the American Automobile Association says the price at the pump may have bottomed out as they're seeing the numbers rise. Again.
The statewide average is about $1.39 per gallon, which is just a tiny bit less than it was last week, only about a half a cent. But across Texas, we're seeing a general trend in upward prices.
He says by this time next week, motorists could see gasoline prices 2 to 3 cents a gallon higher than they are now. He says at least 3.2 million Texans are expected to take to the roadways this weekend. We'll have more in a moment.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all. Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. Really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
A powerful earthquake struck southern Kazakhstan early today, killing at least three people. The Central Asian States Emergency Agency says the epicenter was some 190 miles west of Kazakhstan's largest city. Some homes near the epicenter were destroyed, but an official says practically all the mud brick houses there were seriously damaged. In Algeria, rescue workers are using listening devices and sniffer dogs as they search mountains of rubble to try to find survivors of Wednesday night's devastating tremor. That quake killed at least 1,000 people. We'll have more in a moment.
You don't rule for 900 years by being nice. You've got peasants to enslave and political rivals to murder because they would kill for your job. You are Tsar, and even to this day, your country bears the mark of your rule. Russia, land of the Tsars. The world premiere event this Memorial Day at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. A story so incredible, it can only be true.
Health officials in Toronto are investigating four possible new cases of SARS a week after the World Health Organization declared the region virus-free. Authorities say the disease either came from the Canadian healthcare system or from a person who recently traveled to Asia. Health officials say all the patients involved are currently hospitalized. In China, where the disease originated, three more people have died and another 20 are infected. And WHO officials lifted their warning against travel to Hong Kong and the Chinese province of Guangdong, saying outbreaks are now under control. Felony charges have been filed in Florida after human remains were exhumed and dumped in the woods to make room at a cemetery. A year-long investigation by the state's Department of Law Enforcement found serious problems with the identification and preparation of burial sites at the Menora Gardens Cemetery in Palm Beach and Broward counties. If convicted of the criminal charges, the cemetery owners could face a maximum of 5 years in prison for each of the four felony counts. I'm Marna Woken, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, running whitewater rapids. What a thrilling spring sport. In a raft. But in a car, it's a ride that may literally take your breath away. When I come back, I'll bail you out.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
No one intentionally confuses cars for recreational rafts. But if you find yourself in a stream of late-melting snows or heavy spring rains, remember the kid's toy, a pogo stick. P-O-G-O. P, pop seat belts after you go in water because they protect you on impact. O, open the window quickly, especially if you have power windows. G-O, get out. No explanation necessary. So make sure your whitewater adventure is with a guide and a paddle. Heed warnings of washed-out roads. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
And I'm here with you at the Parker Meridian Hotel on West 57th Street in Midtown Manhattan, just to the left of Carnegie Hall. I'm sitting down here at Seppi's, a fine restaurant. Nice little comfortable little bistro just off the lobby of the hotel. And if you ever happen to find yourself in Manhattan, you might want to stop by here. They've got great food. They're open real late for the city that never sleeps. This place even serves food for the insomniacs. So you want to come on down here. And they're nice enough to let me invite people over and join me on the microphone here at the corner table. And the Parker Meridian
has some kind of French thing going on, too. So if you you like the fact that the right-wingers are beating up on the French, you really want to support these people. Our phone number is 1-800-825-5937. Again, my name's Curtis Ellis, and this is the holiday weekend we're coming up on. Gang, the Memorial Day weekend, and we are in Code Orange. Yes, we are in a high-level terror alert, and I want to know, how is this terrorist scare affecting your holiday plans? This weekend? This summer? Have you changed your plans? Are you going to go on vacation? Are you packing a first aid kit with duct tape and a gas mask in your picnic basket in case you're attacked? Do you have plans on what you would do if you were attacked on the beach this weekend? Are you going to kick sand in the face of the terrorist? And considering that these people come from countries with a lot of sand in them, you might want to think about that. Have you checked your hamburger patty for the barbecue to see if they're made from Canadian beef? Because these cows are now on high alert as well. We're going to get to that part in a minute because I've got a great guest sitting across the table from me. I also want to know if you're going to be eating pork hot dogs for your weenie roast, for your Memorial Day weenie roast, because pork hot dogs will repel Muslim fundamentalists. It'll also repel the Jewish crowd as well, so I don't know. And or are you just going to have your weenie roast in your panic room? Make sure you're safe. You won't even go outdoors. Maybe you're going to have potassium iodide pills along with your pickle relish. In case somebody sets off a dirty bomb, you'll be set. You're going to have your anti-radiation pills. Or maybe you're going to spend your holiday at the shooting range, shooting skeet, doing target practice. Or maybe you'll just invite some fundamentalist Muslims to a picnic because they come with their own tablecloths. I don't know. I think we should export more cigarettes to the Muslim countries, get all of these terrorists strung out on tobacco. That way we can feel safe when we're in our smoke-free restaurants and bars, because they're not allowed in. People who smoke aren't allowed in these restaurants and bars, so all the drunks can feel safe in a smoke-free bar. How should we make America safer and make the economy stronger now that we have an $800 gazillion tax cut? The government's out of money. They're laying off the security screeners at the airport. I know it's true because I read it in the New York Times, and the New York Times never lies, right? Anything you read in the Times has got to be true, because they fired that one reporter who made things up. And all I can say about Jason Blair is, thank God he wasn't a blonde. Otherwise, he'd give blondes an even worse name than they already have now. Now, I think they should hire New York City cab drivers who are really feeling the pinch in this sour economy. They're not getting the fares to the airport like they used to. I think they should hire these cab drivers as translators for the CIA and FBI, because these cab drivers, they all speak those wacky Pashtun languages to begin with. And maybe since we believe in volunteerism, maybe the Junior League can volunteer to screen baggage at the airport, since they're laying off all the baggage handlers. It's true. I'm not making this up. The Homeland Security Department has had its budget cut by 20%. I guess we're 20% safer than we were. We don't need Homeland Security anymore. Much more important that we cut taxes on dividends. And so they're laying off the security screeners. There's going to be 40% fewer screeners at the Pittsburgh airport. So if you're a terrorist, go to Pittsburgh right now. That's where you should be spending your holiday weekend. If you are a terrorist, you might want to go to Denver, because there's going to be an 18% reduction in the baggage screeners at that airport there, the Denver International Airport. So that's what our government has in mind. I'd like to know what you have in mind this holiday weekend. Joe, in Brookings, Oregon, you are on the air.
I'm working at our family's movie theater down in Crescent City, California, so... we do have a Zelia Day Festival parade go to tomorrow here in Brookings, Oregon. Anyway, I want to talk about punk Tom DeLay and what he's been up to lately.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Yeah, well, the exterminator or terminator, whatever the hell he chooses to call himself
these days. He was an exterminator. He used to be a bug killer. He used to be he's just a plain old cockroach. He used to be a cockroach killer, now he's just a cockroach.
Very very big cockroach. Yeah, and he's sending out the or trying to anyway send out the Homeland Security Department to get these domestic terrorist Democrats to come back to the state capitol.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wonder now, when the Homeland Security Department's budget is cut, I wonder if they've laid off any people who hunt down recalcitrant Democrats in Texas. Or
yeah,
if they're
just laying off
baggage screeners at the airport.
Yeah, well, you know, any Democrats, you know, that actually would show some cojones in opposition to the Republicans, you know, you got to track them down
yeah,
because
right.
You can't allow that.
Well, if you're against the Republicans, you're against America, and if you're not with us, you're against us, therefore you're a terrorist. I mean, it's very simple.
Yeah. And, you know, and besides, you know, this whole thing about having all these congressional districts drawn up by partisan politicians, I mean, it's a bunch of BS anyway. From what I understand, in most countries over in Europe, they have, permanent professionals who aren't partisan politicians who draw up the different political districts over there. You know, no wonder in this country you have over 95% of the congressional districts where there is no race. There,
yeah,
a lot of voters figure there is no reason to vote because they figure the Republican or the Democrat is going to win anyway.
That's true. They've rigged the elections by gerrymandering, by rigging the election districts. So most of the districts are so safe, it's like 60-70% of the votes go to one party or the other. And I think you've got a point there, Joe. That's why a lot of people don't vote. They figure these are not competitive races. You'd have to have such a wide margin to shift the seat that it's, forget about it. I'll just stay home and wrap myself in duct tape.
Yeah, well, you know, and then you figure, you know, the conservatives have gerrymandered the media these days to see things their way almost 100% of the time. So, of course, they're not going to talk about that issue. I think that's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, you know, speaking of the media, you know, I turned on CNN this morning figuring, what am I going to talk about on the show today? And I wonder, I was looking all over the dial because, you know, today that commission that is supposed to look into the tragic events of September 11th and how it happened, they're holding a public hearing today. They're holding one of their few public hearings, and it's going to be, today's testimony is going to be about why weren't any airplanes scrambled, why weren't there any fighter jets sent up to try to divert these hijacked airliners. Who got the word? When? What did they do? Did they pick up the phone? Did they go back to sleep or what? And you think that they might broadcast these hearings on CNN? You think they might broadcast them on MSNBC? You might think they might even broadcast them on C-SPAN?
If they were going to be broadcast anywhere, it would be C-SPAN. You would never find anything like that criticizing the government on any of the commercial networks.
You know, on CNN, man, they just had, you know, more Lacey Peterson stuff. It's like, and we wonder why the American people are stupid. As we learned in one of the past hours, we learned that the television signal creates alpha waves in your brain and makes you passive and dumb. And I believe it.
We all need to learn more about the Lacey Peterson situation. I haven't heard enough about it.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, you've got a family-owned movie theater in Crescent City. What are they showing at the theater this weekend?
Okay. Man, I always forget what's about. Shanghai Nights is our second movie, and our first movie is Kangaroo Jack, which I've heard is supposed to be pretty stupid or something.
Really?
Yeah, we got this 8-plex we have to compete with, and they usually get all the new movies.
They get
like
all the good movies, and you get the leftovers, man. Well,
yeah, but we don't rip people off, so.
Oh, that's good. And are you serving pork hot dogs at the concession stand to keep the Muslim fundamentalists away?
Pork hot dogs.
I don't know. All right.
I never thought of that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call, and I just saw The Italian Job. I hope you guys get that movie at your theater. It's not bad. Pretty good. Charlize Theron. I could watch her read the phone book. It's a good little remake heist movie. It's a great heist movie. very exciting. Much better than The Matrix Reloaded, which I thought was really boring. So, now, that we are looking at the holiday weekend, everybody is concerned that their beef patties are made out of a Canadian mad cow. Now, you're not going to get mad cow disease by eating at Seppi's here at the Parker Meridian Hotel in Manhattan. I know that because I've eaten here many times, and I'm not mad. No. And they're also concerned that maybe they'll get E. coli from eating undercooked meat or something like that. Or maybe people are concerned that they're going to get nerve damage by living next to an industrial duty hog farm, which are spreading across the country like a cancer. My guest here, sitting across the table from me at Seppi's, is someone who believes that food is not an industrial commodity, that food is part of culture. Food is something to be cherished. It's part of gastronomy, which is part of culture. I'm talking about Alan Katz, who is one of the big poobahs in the Slow Food USA movement. Alan, thanks for joining me today.
Good to be here.
Now, slow food, we all know what fast food is. Fast food is something that's turned out in factories, shipped across the country into franchised outlets. It is interchangeable parts that you get the same meal whether you're sitting in Crescent City, California, or Hilton Head, South Carolina. What is slow food?
Well, interestingly enough, I would say that slow food in its limited exposure in the United States has even begun to infiltrate the fast food movement. But briefly, slow food, while it was started in Italy in the mid-80s, has been in the U.S. for about 3 years and is a movement dedicated through educational endeavors to preserving sustainability, biodiversity, and food culture.
All right, well, we're going to learn more about slow food and what it really means to what you eat and the kind of country we live in. Now, if you want to talk about slow food or if you want to talk about anything, all you have to do is call 800-825-5937 because Alan Katz is a good guy and he'll talk to you about whatever you want to talk about, just like me. I'm Curtis Ellis.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities, call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
It's always reassuring to learn that top White House officials are operating today in the time-honored tradition of so many Washington public servants. They are resigning to become high-paid corporate lobbyists, cashing in on their government connections. Take our brand-new Homeland Security Department. Please, take it far away and bury the whole bureaucratic, autocratic monstrosity in a landfill where it will eternally burp gas but otherwise won't bother us. Unfortunately, There it is, alive in Washington and gorging on some $40 billion of our tax dollars each year. The Homeland Czar is former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge. Working out of the White House, Ridge had four top deputies to help him create the Homeland Security Department. Did his inner circle move with him into the new agency? No, no, Pollyanna. All four are now lobbyists, helping corporate clients grab a chunk of the billions of dollars that HSD is now doling out in fat government contracts. When asked by a reporter about the obvious conflict of interest involved here, one of Ridge's former aides said, "This conversation is over," and hung up. Another was more forthcoming, noting that not only did she have great access to Ridge and other top HSD decision makers, but also that, quote, "all of us are very close friends with the governor and see him on many different occasions, not just professionally." Gosh, what a cozy world Washington is. Homeland Security is a bloated bureaucracy that won't make you and me one bit more secure, but it will secure billions in federal boondoggles for connected corporations. It's been dubbed a huge honeypot for lobbyists, and one enthusiastic lobbyist representing such fat cat military contractors as Lockheed Martin and Raytheon bragged, "We're trying to help our clients avoid the landmines and find the gold mines in Homeland Security. I'm very bullish on this." This is Jim Hightower saying, there you have it, your security dollars at work. Feel safer?
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, gang, we got a little bit of time left here with you at Seppi's at the Parker Meridian Hotel in New York City. 800-825-5937. A few minutes to go before, actually it is about 35 minutes to go before my holiday weekend starts in earnest. And I'd like to know what you're doing on your holiday weekend. When I ask, how has the terror alert affected your holiday weekend and also your summer plans? There is a serious side to this. I've been traveling a lot. I was in Africa, and before that I was in Italy, and then I was over in San Francisco. And everywhere I go, the tourist industry is being whacked. It's taking a big hit. People aren't traveling, particularly Americans. I was in southern Africa, and they're still getting a lot of European visitors, but the Americans just aren't going anywhere. And now, I must say, I'm not a big supporter of mass tourism. I think it's kind of like mass industrialization. It's had its baneful effects on the world. But at the same token, a lot of people do get a living and make a living off of those of us who have the money to spend on travel, spending our money on travel. So a lot of the world's been affected by this cutback in traveling and tourism, and I'd like to know seriously if any of you people have changed your travel plans this summer, which Memorial Day being the beginning of the summer weekend, beginning of the summer travel season, if your travel plans have been changed because of this constant drumbeat of fear and terror and orange, yellow, red alert. So, Paul in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Yes, Curtis. This is Paul. I was just concerned about how the Democrats are in a crisis because they have different support bases that are seemingly at odds with each other. Like I think you were talking about earlier about the environmentalists not always being in the same alignment with the labor. And then, of course, there's the small business person that wants to have free trade and those type of things.
Right.
Well, there's an organization that's developing in the Democrats called the Democratic Freedom Caucus.
Uh-huh.
And they're progressive libertarian types, but they also appeal with Greens.
I see.
But their main point is that they distinguish between two kinds of property. There's property that you make with your own labor. You know, it's either you're a businessman and you have machines, or there's money that you earn with your labor.
Right.
That you get to keep 100%.
Right.
In this new economic paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
But then, who owns most of the wealth of the planet? Those are your
rich elitists, the rich capitalist elitists, yes.
Yeah, the resource monopolists.
Right.
And we should be renting that out to them.
Uh-huh.
And it's land, air, and water. See, they were going around trying to actually buy up all the water of the planet. Enron mm-hmm. was doing that.
That's
so,
right.
This new economic paradigm actually is not that new. It was kind of first proposed by Henry George, the political economist, back in the 1880s. But he was kind of rubbed out of the economics books. His book, Progress and Poverty, actually sold more books than all the other books except for the Bible at the time.
Oh, my gosh. This is called the Freedom Caucus and the Democratic Party?
Democratic Freedom Caucus, yes.
Democratic Freedom Caucus. And what do they propose to do to move the Democratic Party closer to the interests of the broad mass of American people?
Okay. It's an economic program where you gradually, now that, I must emphasize gradually, but you gradually remove taxes from economically or human productive activities. That includes payroll taxes, income tax.
Basically remove taxes from labor. You don't tax labor.
It would also remove it actually from capital investment, dividends.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Now
all
you think, well, that's not exactly what the Democrats want to do, but think about it. You're removing it from labor and capital.
Very good. Paul, this is very interesting, and I'm going to be thinking about that all weekend while I have wrapped myself in duct tape and have my weenie roast in my panic room. Now, if you want to call, you out there in the audience, you call 800-825-5937, and I'm going to be having a slow food barbecue, and we're going to learn about that.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, your back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
You're listening to The Peter Werbe Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Water hyacinth is popular with some gardeners and despised by some natural resource managers. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Water hyacinth is a floating aquatic plant with large purple and violet flowers that's native to South America. Problems crop up when the plant gets out of home gardens and into lakes and marshes. What was a pretty plant then turns into a weed. Water hyacinths once clogged many lakes and rivers in Florida, but management agencies eventually brought it under control. The plants are a major problem in Africa, too. Jeffrey Howard works for the World Conservation Union. He recently wrote a report on invasive species in Africa's wetlands and lakes, and he says water hyacinths pose a serious environmental threat.
I think probably its greatest impact is that it covers the water surface completely. In parts of Lake Victoria, it grew so fast and it grew so thick that no light got through to the water and it used up all the oxygen.
Howard says the lack of light and oxygen killed off fish and aquatic plants and animals. The plants make it almost impossible for people to fish or to move across the water.
It stops the movement of boats. People can't get to the water's edge. People can't get to their boats. Even if they can get to their boats, they can't get them out into the water because of this thick growth of plants, which can grow, you know, a kilometer or two out into a lake.
Howard says African water management officials have started to fight water hyacinths with a weapon that worked in Florida. They're using two species of beetles from the plant's home range in South America. The beetles eat only water hyacinths. Howard says they've cleared out as much as 95% of the plants in a few places where they've been introduced. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Don't step on good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, and you better call right now because we've only got a few minutes left here. 800-825-5937. My name is Curtis Ellis. I'm here with Alan Katz, who is the head of the Slow Food USA little chapter in New York. They call it a convivium or something, which I guess means you live together, right?
We don't live together, but we have a grand old convivial time together.
Oh. And that's what food's about, in a way, is having a convivial time.
It's absolutely a shared experience.
And that is what Slow Food, the slow food movement, wants to promote, the idea of it being a shared food being a shared experience rather than an industrial commodity.
Absolutely. Well, most important, a pleasurable shared experience.
Now, to try to explain the slow food movement, I think we should just get down to specifics. Tell me what you are doing. You were telling me before that you're taking some chefs up to the Catskills.
Sure, we've got an interesting slow food program coming up in August where we're going to take some chefs from New York City who have a keen interest already in sourcing local products or regional products, and we're going to get them out of their element and visit some farms in the Catskills in the major watershed area that serves New York City. And aside from a day to just beat the summer heat, we'll get out, get our hands dirty, learn about the business side of family farming, and in the same respect have an opportunity for these farmers to learn the business side of how restaurants work in New York City and try and create some business relationships between the two groups.
And the idea is to get farmers and growers selling directly to the restaurants.
Absolutely. We're taking out the middlemen, trying to not cut down on price, but make price efficient for both ends so that the farmer is making an equitable living and the chef or the restaurateur is able to source the finest products that our region has to offer.
And the farmers will be getting more money because the money will not be going to Archer Daniels Midlander.
This is correct.
One
absolutely
of these go-between guys.
Correct.
Well, this is interesting. You want the chefs to see where the food comes from. I understand there's another program that the Slow Food USA movement is doing so that kids know where food comes from.
That's correct. It's called the School Gardens Program, a national program that's really taken root across the country that's based on a pretty successful and wonderful program that Alice Waters, one of our major benefactors nationally, started out in Berkeley called the Edible Schoolyard, which aims to...
Is that the dog ate my homework?
It could be. Unfortunately, when I was a kid, we didn't have a school garden, but at home I had a garden. But this program is aiming to help educate kids and parents of school-age kids about where food comes from, that lettuce doesn't simply come from a plastic bag on the grocery store shelf, and that there are different kinds of lettuce, even at that. Unbelievable that they have different tastes and different textures and that they look different. And an opportunity, in the best-case scenario, to have food and food quality and food culture become a little bit part of the school curriculum for young kids.
Now, it used to be when I was growing up, which was a long time ago, I occasionally, not every night because my parents worked, but we'd often sit down and have a meal together, have dinner, the kid, my two brothers, myself, my parents, we'd all share a meal around the dinner table, talk about our day, talk about what we're eating. My mother would open the can of beans. We'd have beans. My point here is that it was a shared experience. And I just get the feeling that this is becoming rarer and rarer. People just see food as something to put in their mouth to get
over, get done with, to go on and do whatever they were doing before and what they've got to do next.
Sure, that's nothing new. Food is bluntly an antidote to hunger. When you have hunger, you put something in your mouth. But our aim is to really recapture the pleasures of food, but also a respect for food and where food comes from, and that there are people out there taking the time, the care, applying artistry and craftsmanship to actually growing food for our pleasure.
Uh-huh. Now, where food comes from. One of the important things, as I understand it, in the slow food movement, one of the important things is regionalism and localism.
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Well, really, slow food is about taking a different slant toward acknowledging where our food comes from, that it's not flown not only across the country, but from around the world to get to our supermarket shelf, but that in most regions, if not all the regions of the United States, there are viable resources for extraordinary food products, from fruits and vegetables to meats to cheeses to seafood on the coasts, and that these are fantastic resources for us to attract producers to consumers and to source our food locally to support our local economy, and to also preserve fuel efficiency as well, as opposed to flying, shipping, driving, etc., food from all over the world, just so we can get an apple, a tasteless apple in some cases, in the middle of, March.
Right. We can get grapes from Chile in the middle of January.
Correct.
When it's chilly in New York. Now, the aspect of the slow food movement, which I find fascinating, is that it's not necessarily organic. You're not that's not a necessary condition.
Well, organic becomes a difficult situation, particularly in light of recent events with the new USDA standards. There are now three tiers of organic, which becomes difficult even if you ask USDA officials what organic means. And while the law has been signed as a bill, it's going to take some time to even filter through the labeling process. I would say in the truest sense, in the most authentic sense of organic, that's what we're aiming toward. But as we strive toward those things, the focus is clearly on supporting our local regional farmers and producers of craft foods, of artisan foods.
I'm speaking with Alan Katz, who is with the Slow Food USA movement. How can people find out about Slow Food USA? You don't have to be in New York to be tapped into this movement, do you?
You don't have to be in New York. There is a national office here in New York that anyone around the country can call at 212-965-5640. And the easiest way to get information right away is simply on the web at slowfoodusa.org.
slowfoodusa.org. Now, there are people all over the country in this movement. What are they doing?
That's correct. Well, it's very much a grassroots movement, and there are convivium or chapters around the country, and by going to that website, you can certainly find a local contact nearest to wherever you are in the country. And these people, depending on where they are, have chapter activities, programming that involves educational symposia, taste education classes, excursions to farms, cheese-making sessions with artisan craftspeople, or interaction with local food professionals to try and bring together all of the food-caring community in one place.
So maybe you've got a neighbor who raises goats and produces some good goat milk, and you'd like to help them sell their goat milk to a good restaurant. Slow Food USA could...
Or to simply a good farmer's market.
Yeah. Or to a good farmer. Now, I understand farmers markets is sort of a growing phenomenon. Everybody wants to have a farmers market in their neighborhood, in their city, in their town, right?
Well, you need farmers who have viable businesses to be able to have a farmers market in your town. That's the first priority.
Duh.
Yeah. What do you know?
Well,
if we don't maintain a respect of where these products come from, those small farmers are going to dwindle further and further.
Well, that's a good point. And what can be done to help farming remain viable?
Well, right off the bat, you have these farmers markets in growing communities, large and small, around the country, and that's a resource that's become invaluable, because not only do you get the freshest, highest quality products, but you're buying it directly from the person who pulled it out of the ground, or who raised the cow, or who raised the sheep. So if you have questions, you want to learn about where your food comes from or what the farmer likes to prepare with the food that he's selling or she's selling, you can ask them right there as opposed to a grocery store clerk.
Mm-hmm. The grocery store clerk who might not know much about the food anyway. I'm speaking with Alan Katz. My name's Curtis Ellis. I'm speaking with Alan Katz from the Slow Food USA movement. We're talking about food because I like to talk about food. I like to eat food. We're broadcasting today from Seppi's, which is a very nice restaurant with very handcrafted food that they serve here at the Parker Meridian Hotel in New York City. But if you want to talk about something else, you can talk about that, too, and call 800-825-5937. We've been talking a lot about the Democrats today and why they don't just get their act together. And it reminds me that one of the candidates is Senator Edwards from North Carolina, and he decided to make rural America an issue. He said that the government, and maybe the Democrats, maybe the Republicans, are ignoring the needs of rural America, which fits nicely into what we've been talking about. What are some of the economic realities of the rural Americans, which maybe aren't being addressed by the agricultural subsidies that are being handed out in Washington?
Well, that's a whole nother picture to deal with, but you know, it depends on the region. And again, the country is broken up into so many diverse regions and has become such a matter of specialization, both from a food production standpoint, if you're in the South where there's a conglomerate of hog farmers, or the North where there are, you know, more so apple producers and pear producers, to the West Coast where there's a great diversity because of a more favorable climate. But there's also vast cultural differences, and so that would have to be dealt with almost on an individual region-by-region basis to deal with both the food or agricultural and cultural alone issues.
Yeah. Well, you've got the Northeast Dairy Compact.
Sure.
Now, do you believe that the farmers are served by the Agriculture Department, or is it serving just a few large agribusinesses?
It depends on the issue. By and large, if you look at the big picture, USDA tends to serve the major companies. It's a big business chain, but more and more, with the influence of some very active state senators from New York to Alaska, there's more and more influence and more attention being paid to the regional economies of food production in the United States, whether it be dairy in New York State or wild salmon in the Pacific Northwest in Alaska.
I was recently in Zambia and speaking with one of the people who lives there. He runs a game lodge, game viewing lodge in one of the national parks down there. And he was saying that the local farming economy has been destroyed by the food aid that pours into that country. They have fertile soil and they have local farmers, but they really can't afford to grow corn in Zambia because this corn, which is produced in America with taxpayer subsidies, is then dumped into Zambia at a below market price, and it's destroying the local regional economy for farmers. And then at the same time, what happens is the large agribusinesses come in and they give these farmers cottonseed and pesticides and say, we want you to grow some cotton. And so the people aren't growing the food they need, but they're growing cotton for export and kind of a sharecropping arrangement. Yeah. Now, this is not a slow food approach, is it?
This is not a slow food approach by any means. And unfortunately, most of that corn that's being shipped to Africa and other parts is predominantly genetically modified corn, which becomes another difficult situation. We certainly don't want people to starve. We're looking for people to be healthy and have healthy quantities of food. And as I said earlier, you know, first and foremost, people need to eat as that antidote to hunger. However, one of the real major slow food tenets is the protection of biodiversity. And the risk factor in essentially sending the GMO corn wherever it is, whether it's here in this country or to Africa or any other part of the world, is that it basically dominates the wild breeds, the wild species of corn in the case of corn.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. And has the very real risk of basically overrunning the original or authentic species of corn. And again, what we're trying to promote is that there are varieties, even within corn, that they have different flavors, different uses. and the risk in losing those is too great.
Hmm. I'm speaking with Alan Katz, head of the New York Convivium of Slow Food USA. Slow food is a movement, an antidote to fast foods, and it's a movement which wants us to look at our food as well as taste it, or maybe
absolutely taste it. We're not looking.
Who cares about looking at it? Just taste it.
You can look at it, but it's important to eat it as well.
And it examines some of the issues around food, growing it, the people who grow it, the economy which produces food and how it's produced, whether we have industrial hog farms or are we going to have handmade foods. I understand you're looking at turkeys.
We have, absolutely. Another major project that really came off as quite a success in year one was an attempt to reinvigorate the industry of heritage breeds of turkeys.
Heritage turkeys.
Heritage turkeys with some rather wonderfully characteristic names like Narragansett and Bourbon Red and Jersey Bluff. And these are some of the original breeds that roamed North America when they were brought over by Europeans to the Americas. Back in the day, but basically we have the white-breasted, the large white-breasted turkey, which comes out year-round, but certainly is most recognized at Thanksgiving.
That's the one that's bred in these farms by the gazillions.
It's bred in
gazillions.
These farms for immense breast meat, to the point that they're barely able to walk, let alone fly, simply for an attractive physical appeal, an attractive look, if you will.
Are you saying that large breasts have an attractive physical appeal?
To some. But again, we're looking to taste the finest turkeys. And
we're talking about turkeys.
Turkeys, exactly. Yeah. But this program, which was launched this year by Slow Food USA as a national program as part of the Slow Food USA ARC program, reintroduced with the aid of farmers across the country, these specific heritage breeds and made them available not only to consumers but to retailers and chefs around the country. And while it may seem small, it went from a population of a few hundred
to a few hundred turkeys.
A few hundred turkeys in the country to over 6,000 birds through this program. And so it's a program that's now established. And really the Slow Food effort is to be an enabler to these farmers whose business it is to raise these birds. And so our hope is that in the future the market will be strong enough that they can be self-supportive in not only raising but taking these birds to market on their own.
Now, you may think I'm crazy, folks. I'm here talking with Alan Katz about Slow Food. I like to think about food, but more than that, I like to eat food. And I think we all should be paying a little more attention to what we're putting in our mouths, because you are what you eat. We just got a few minutes left here. If you want to get in before the holiday weekend and share your thoughts with the rest of the country, call 800-825-5937. 800-825-5937. Just a few minutes left. I'm Curtis Ellis on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the May Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you're repainting a room, come in today and buy 2 gallons of Ace Royal Touch eggshell wall and trim paint at $16.99 each and get the third gallon free. Not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of May. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
I say it's like fire.
No, I'd say blowtorch.
I describe it this way. Oh.
They're talking about the burn of indigestion and pain. How can you cool the burning fast? With Alka-Seltzer. Effervescent Alka-Seltzer is ready to go to work instantly to cool the burn of indigestion and pain fast. Alka-Seltzer with the refreshing lemon-lime taste. Nothing cools the burn of indigestion and pain faster. Use as directed.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff. How's that for sage advice? Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it? Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, gang, just a few minutes left here before the holiday weekend begins for me once this show is over. I'm here with Alan Katz. We're talking about tasteless large breasts on turkeys, that is. Alan, you are
the... There's a remedy. Good, juicy legs.
Good, juicy legs.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Some nice thighs.
There you go.
All right. We're talking about slow food. In case you didn't know, the Slow Food USA is a very important movement. Alan, tell us how people can find out a little bit more about what you guys are doing.
Very simply, go to the web at www.slowfoodusa.org.
Some of your major programs are... The school garden, so kids can know where food comes from. That it doesn't just come out of a plastic package
kids
in the supermarket.
And parents too.
Yeah, and you're also helping to preserve some of the heritage brands, like some of those tasteful turkeys.
Absolutely, heritage breeds of turkeys, oyster varieties, fruits and vegetables all over the country.
Yay! And I want to encourage everybody here as we come into the holiday weekend and the summer travel season, not to be afraid. Do not buy this propaganda of terror, fear. The greatest antidote to fear is courage. And the greatest antidote to fear is not watching television all the time. Spend more time cooking. Spend more time savoring the flavors of life, whether it's on your dinner plate, whether it's talking to the person next to you, hopefully talking to the person you love.
spending time with your family, just, you know, like the old saying goes, smell the flowers, smell the roses, look at what's right in front of you. Don't be diverted by that information pouring through that television tube or even what you read in the newspaper. Live your life. Don't be afraid to travel. The world's a great place out there, whether you're traveling in this country or out of the country. I never found a single anti-American in all my travels. So as we approach the summer travel season, don't be afraid to travel. I don't think that it's as scary as they say it is. I know it's not. And I know that people aren't anti-American. They may be anti-Bush. I met a lot of anti-Bush people, but they could tell that I am not George Bush. Even though I'm an American, I do not represent the U.S. administration. But let's just enjoy ourselves here a little bit. We got a lot of problems. We got a lot of problems with this government, and we got a lot of problems with this economy. But we'll never overcome those problems if we lose our sense of humor and our sense of joy in life. And so I encourage everybody to go out there and have a little bit of fun. That's what this three-day weekend's about. Americans, work too much. Take some time off. Spend it with your family. And just have a great old time. Peter and Julene will be back next week. It's been a pleasure being here with you. My name's Curtis Ellis, and enjoy this holiday weekend.
Been listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program.